This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. My name is Lauren Booth. I'm a journalist and I'm a broadcaster and I'm an actor and a writer by the grace of Allah. And I've been Muslim since 2010. I wasn't born Muslim, guess what? I was born in London to parents who had lost their faith. They were 1960s people in a famous circle of friends, and so they had lost their faith. But I always grew up knowing that there was one God. In fact, my mum called me a few months ago and she said, "The family have been discussing why you've become an extremist in religion." I said, "Oh, okay, what did the family say? What did you say, Mum?" And my mum said, "Well, you were always a weird kid." And I said, "How was I weird?" She said, "You were always praying. You know, you just go to your room. I'm just going to ask God about this matter." So I was a pious kid without any knowledge. But it's not easy. It's not easy in any age, but in this day and age, to hold on to faith in your teenage years. So I became a kind of celebrity in my late 20s, mostly because my brother-in-law was the prime minister, but I certainly made the most of my moment of attention. And it becomes very, very toxic, very addictive. Celebrity is addictive. Once people are looking at you and admiring you and wanting you to come to give you things. All right, celebrity is a lot about being given stuff. You get free clothes, you can get a free car, you can get a free holiday, and then you get lots of free attention. So nowadays it's like everybody's a celebrity on social media. How many likes? Only 70 likes. I want 80, I want 90, I want 100,000 likes. And it's completely, I know about drugs, I know about drink. Celebrity and social media is more addictive, and sugar actually, in my experience. So I definitely wouldn't say that in my 20s I was on any spiritual journey. I was on a complete nafsi celebrity journey, and I was content with that. When I say, actually, content isn't the right word. I was okay with that. I was okay with that. But I was getting myself into situations which were ugly, with people who were in a very low moral state, which, to be honest, their fame was this high, the moral state was in the gutter. Really, really, you know, degrading circumstances for the human being to be in. But it looks great on the front cover of a magazine. So there's this big disparity that I started to notice. And may Allah forgive me, I was very selfish. I was a selfish human being because I was so involved in my own drama, the drama of life. And really, what everybody wants to know from a convert is, okay, so when did you wake up? How did the wake up happen, right? Yeah, I guess that's what everybody wants to know. You know, for women, possibly for men as well, but definitely for women, the wake up is having a baby, right? Your body changes, you're aware that something inside you needs you, you have to calm down. I had 3 miscarriages because of drink and drugs. May Allah forgive me, right? I had to calm down. And then when the baby is born, and going through the pain of childbirth, it was like it was ripping a reality. It was ripping from one place of just table, chairs, lights, to something else. I saw through a veil, and there was beauty there, and there is creation there, and there is hope there. And I wanted to go there with my child. So that was one of the changes that I went through. That was in 2000. And in the same time as my daughter was born, I remember watching the news on TV one night. My baby was very small, I was breastfeeding her. And there was a photograph of a boy. And you know when you give birth, if you haven't given birth yet, you need to know this, that you become very sensitive. It's like all of the layers of ugliness and of sarcasm and of self obsession are peeled away, and you want the world to be a better place. You really want the world to be a better place. So I was watching the news this night with my new baby, and there was a photo of a boy. And the boy was small, but he was 15. It was the news. And he was standing like this. And all you could see was his back. And only a little bit in front of him, there was a tank. And the tank was coming towards the boy. Now, if a tank came towards you and me in this, you know, situation we are in right now, you and me, we'd run the other way, right? That's the human instinct. But this boy, this little boy with a stone in his hand, was leaning into the tank. And I was just thinking, you know, I was just thinking, run away. Run away, you strange Middle Eastern child. You strange alien child in a place of dirt and refugee camps. Just go home. Just go home. Your mom's waiting. And it was very raw. And the place that he came from was Gaza, which I didn't really know about. The place was called Palestine. But I did know that 10 days later, Faris O'Day was shot dead by an Israeli sniper. And he died, he bled to death on the floor of a refugee camp, protecting his family with a stone. That and the Qadr of Allah is the only explanation I have for everything that's happened since. 5 years later, I found myself asking to go to Palestine. It was like there was a voice in my head saying, go to Palestine, go to Palestine, go to Palestine. Why do I want to go to Palestine? By this point, I'm living in France. I've got two daughters, nice husband, big house, swimming pool. You know, we're in the most beautiful part, one of the most beautiful parts of all of Allah's earth. And I want to go to Palestine? What is that? That is what you call a calling. And what we recognize in this world is that all of us have a calling away from materialism. So I found myself in 2005, thanks be to God, in Palestine. And I thought that I knew the story there. I'd gone to find the truth. This is another word that you might recognize in your life. Whoever's watching this, may God bless you. Wherever you come from and wherever you're going, God bless you. Watch out for the signs that you're being called to truth, and go with it. That's all I can say, is go with it, okay? So I went to Palestine, and I was scared. I was scared of Arabs. Yeah, definitely. Arabs with guns, Arabs with loud voices. That's how it sounded to my English ears. I remember I was being shown into my interview with Mahmoud Abbas from the Palestinian Authority. First day in the West Bank, and there were two big bodyguards, Palestinian bodyguards, either side of me, right? They both had big guns, they both had walkie-talkies, and they put me into an elevator. It was like a movie. And then one of them said, and in my mind, the subtitle said, we will kill the white woman later. And I was shocked. I was really shocked, because I thought, oh my God, I'm a racist. I presume that just because these guys are Palestinian and just because I'm white, they're going to kill me. Where did that thought come from? Here's the amazing thing. 3 days later, I traveled around the West Bank on my own. Right? They forgot to tell me in the media where I was working, this is how you go to Palestine. You stay in your hotel room, you make a phone call, they come to you, don't go outside. Because that's what they tell journalists. Don't meet the Muslims. Muslims are dangerous. You might get kidnapped. Okay? You might get disappeared. You'll never come back. They'll lie to you. But I didn't do that. I just went, marhaba, marhaba. If somebody drove past and said, get in my car, I said, okay, I'll get in your car. And so, by the grace of Allah, I went all around the West Bank. I went to Jenin. I went to Bethlehem. I went to Nablus on my own. And I saw a different reality. And there were two things that stayed with me there. One was that we're being lied to, that the media are liars about Muslims. And the second one was that I knew nothing about Christianity and the Muslims knew more about Jesus than I did. And that, and there was three things. The third thing was I should read the Quran, because the people were so generous and kind to me as a stranger, kinder than anybody in my family or any of my friends had ever been. And so gentle that I wanted to be like them. SubhanAllah. Yeah. But it took a long time, because the thing is, you don't just get to walk into Islam. You know, Allah is great and He knows our condition. And we have to be, we have to get out of our old habits to some degree, you know. And I had to be deprogrammed. I had to have my rough edges cut off, you know, knocked off me before I was humble enough to say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, which is the Shahada. I believe in the oneness of Allah, and I believe the Prophet Muhammad is the last and final prophet. I had a very traumatic time in 2009. My family had a traumatic time, but as the mother, I had a traumatic time. And I'll just encapsulate it like this. In January 2009, I had a husband and a house and a job. In October 2009, I had no husband, no house, no job. I'd moved back from France, no money, no nothing, and it looked like my children were going to be taken away. Allahu Akbar. That is in 9 months. And I didn't know what to do. And it got to the stage in October, around October 2009, when I was in a rented flat, which I couldn't afford, back in London with no car, with a court case trying to take my children away from me, when I put my head to the ground and I said, Allah, just my children. Because I understand that life is not about money anymore. It wasn't about the swimming pool. It wasn't about the great job. Just my kids. And let me learn about life and just my kids. And I said sorry to God. And a month later in 2010, I went to Iran. And I went as a journalist, not on a spiritual journey at all. I just went to look around. And I ended up in Ramadan in a mosque. And I sat down in the mosque and it felt as if I was under a waterfall of peace. A waterfall of peace. If you can imagine all the tension of that year, I was starting to have like feelings of a heart attack. You know, that whole year. You know, when you're so under pressure, they talk about stress. Thought I was going to die from a heart attack. And at that moment, in that mosque, everything just went. And I knew the universe was peaceful. And I knew that everything was going to be okay. SubhanAllah. And a week later, back in London, I walked into a mosque and I said, there is no God but Allah alone and without partners. And the Prophet Muhammad is the last and final messenger. And suddenly, Friday night, I was a Muslim. Allahu Akbar. That's interesting. You know what, people... So I worked in the mainstream media, right? I worked for right-wing newspapers as a left-winger. I'm a liberal. I don't even know what that means anymore as a Muslim. But anyway, you know, I wasn't right-wing. I was considered myself a liberal. And I worked in the mainstream of newspapers. And was there anything? And so as soon as I came to Islam, there's only two things that the right-wing media can write. If someone who is sane, because I clearly wasn't mad... If someone who is from them, I had a page in their newspaper, in the Mail on Sunday. I was a regular columnist. I was on TV, on Sky News regularly. Suddenly turns up in a hijab. It's like, okay, two options. She can't cope with life or she's having a midlife crisis. Because if it's not one of those two, then maybe there's a God. And maybe that God, the one God, calls himself Allah. And they can't do that. So I got treated immediately like written about. You get written about as if there was something missing. You were at a loss. You couldn't cope. So here's the crutch of a faith that you don't understand. There you go. I mean, this rhetoric really is far-right rhetoric. I had a nice life. I had good parts and I had difficult and fun parts. I wasn't looking for faith. Faith, by the grace of Allah, came to me. But I did want to be kind. And I did want Palestine to be free. And only Allah knows. Was it those things? No, because it's never anything that we've done. That would be arrogance. Only Allah's mercy. We all get a chance to come to Islam. So no, I wouldn't say I was missing anything. Crazy thing is that I knew nothing about Islam when I took my Shahada. Yeah, it's really, really mad. Many people I know study, but Allah knows. See, there's as many routes to Islam as there are human beings. So if you're a technical person, you may go line through line and ask questions of a sheikh for 2, 5, 10 years and go, okay, now I get it. I'm satisfied. If you're an academic, I'm a people person. I was trained as an actor. You know, I grew up in a literature environment. So for me, it was always going to be, how does this faith affect the people? If I can see in the people something better than me, then that's interesting to me. So amazingly, it might seem to Muslims, because we're always very down on ourselves, you know, astaghfirullah. We need to stop that post-colonial nonsense. My route to Islam was really through the people of Palestine and the Muslims that I met in the UK. And the first time I read a section of the Quran in 2007. I read Surah Fatiha, it's the opening. And if you're not Muslim, you'd recognize the opening of the Quran as sounding a bit like the Lord's Prayer. If you read Surah Baqarah and you're in a sinful, disbelieving state, it's gonna hit you like a brick. It hit me like a brick. There's an ayat in there that says, it's to do with they pretend to be believers when they're with believers, but when they're on their own with their shaitan, complete hypocrites. And I realized I was a hypocrite. I told people I believed in God, but I didn't pray. I said to myself, my children, let's believe in God. But I didn't act like a believer. I acted like a non-believer. And this book told me I was a liar and I was going to hell. And it scared me. So without picking up the Quran again, I took my Shahada. And then I had to go back to the Quran. SubhanAllah. But when I picked it up, Surah Baqarah said, welcome, be at peace. Everything is going to be okay. Allah will give you Jannah. All you have to do is draw closer to Him. And it was, wow, it was an opening, alhamdulillah. When I was young, I didn't know anything about Islam. In the 80s, early 90s, I just knew there were Asian people who did weird stuff and they had their exotic gods. And it was probably very colourful, and there were probably, Muslims probably prayed to about 12 gods. You know, I completely confused it with Hinduism and didn't care. And then after 9/11, I felt sorry for Muslims because I thought, wow, it's really unfair that the poorest people on the planet are being bombed by the richest people on the planet. It doesn't make sense. Afghanistan, Iraq, what was that? I didn't like what I was seeing. So I began protesting against the war in Iraq. Then I found out about Palestine, and I took steps by the grace of Allah to try and do what I could to bring attention to Palestine. Actually, because I was 43 when I came to Islam, and because I'd been to Palestine by ship and by, I don't know, all different ways, my family kind of thought I was crazy anyway by this point. So like, oh, now it's Islam. Oh, right, okay. So, but it started to bite after a while. Oh, you're really going to keep the scarf on, are you? It's not just a fad. No, it's something that I need to do for my faith. It's something I believe in. And then you start praying in your mum's house. She's like, ugh. But she was okay, to be fair. She never stopped me praying. But there were a couple of times when, even recently actually, you know, I had to speak to my family because they were serving alcohol at the table. And I said, you know what? I can't do this. I can't, it just is not right for me to sit here. I know it's your house, but do you mind, you know, I'm not going to ask you not to drink, but I'll just go and sit at another table. He said, what about your mum? I said, my mum's 80 years old. She can do what she wants. But you're younger and you know I'm a Muslim. If you choose to drink now, it's your house. I'll go and sit somewhere else. But for me, I'd rather not. So there's all these kind of little sticking points. But honestly, they've been really, really good. That hasn't been a problem for me. Alhamdulillah, shukrullah. The media was horrendous. The media was horrendous. I went from being a part of the media to being like seen as a criminal. I walked into Sky News after a month and I finally had the nerve to put on my hijab, because before that I'd be going to Sky News and taking it off in the car. And then I read an ayat in the Quran about the hypocrites who do one thing and then don't do it. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm a hypocrite. I'm pretending to the TV I'm not Muslim. I'm just... So I went in with hijab and everybody went, hi, Laura. I'll never forget it. And then I remember going into where they do the makeup and she was like, shall I do your hair? Oh, I'll just do a little bit of... Yeah, I'm like, just, it's fine. I did exactly the same job as I'd ever done for 10 years. Same job, talking about the newspaper, same kind of opinions. And they said, thank you very much, but there was one difference. On the next Monday morning, I got a phone call. Laura, we're changing things around. We won't be using you anymore. Thanks very much. Take care. Now, I can't prove that that was to do with me converting. And you will notice there are now, alhamdulillah, lots of women on the mainstream news. Not lots, but there's a number who have hijab. But are they converts? Are they converts? The world is not ready for converts to be seen. The Western world is not ready for converts to be seen as rational human beings. Because how can you be rational when you've been believing Allah and all that stuff from the Middle East, and they have all these confused ideas? So that was difficult. It was only difficult in that it impacted me financially, because I literally didn't care. I didn't care. Call me a terrorist sympathizer, I don't care. I've got my Quran, got my Allah, I've got my kids. I don't care. So, hate for years, 4 or 5 years, hatred. And it didn't matter at all, because everything is with Allah. And Allah will choose the path. As long as we stay the course, steadfast, steadfast, steadfast. So I'd say this to anybody who has a feeling in their heart, maybe Islam is the right way. You might come from Russia or Texas or France or South America or part of Africa from a Christian family. Don't be afraid. Never fear. When you take the path to Allah, everything is lifted. Because you know what? Our sins are gone. And nothing you've experienced so far can replace that feeling. And don't be afraid as well, because everything will make sense. You know, the feeling of, I don't know why I'm getting up in the morning. The feeling you might be having of, this world is so crazy, I don't know why I'm here. When you study Islam, when you live a Muslim life, when you speak to Allah every day, everything makes sense. You will know why you're here, where you go to next, and how to make things better, inshallah.